Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having us. I'm surprised my kids went to Sunday school. I'm thankful. This is our sixth church this summer sharing. So we were like, can we bring a book? We don't want to listen to you talk again. So they went. That's good. Our youngest has been a struggle. They'd say not to apologize before you share something for what you're about to share. But I just want to say sorry, because my mind is all over the place this morning. I had Pastor Randy just say, hey, are you related to Joe? And then I had Rex and, I already forget your name,
Lynn
say, oh, we graduated with your dad and ran around with him. And so my mind has not been focused here. My grandparents lived right down the road. I spent many weekends right down the road with my aunt and uncle, Rick and Dee Dee Runyon, who live out in the country, like just 2 miles from here. And my mind's been like all over the place. My grandma actually passed away less than 2 years ago, and we weren't able to go to the funeral. And so sorry, this isn't planned. So let's get back to the plan. I think you can hear me, right? That's okay. When you think of a missionary, what do you think of? And what we want to do this morning is kind of encourage you, hopefully, bring glory to God and what he is doing in our lives, but for you to think about, what's he doing in my life? And how am I a missionary? Because we believe every one of us is a missionary. 1 Corinthians 9:24 just reminds us that we're all in a race, and we want to run that race to finish well. And that race is our life, right? And we each have a different race. We don't compete with each other. God gives us each an individual race to run. Some of us, that means we move to California and then end up back where we grew up with no idea that wasn't the plan, right? Some of us stay in one area our whole lives, and some of us, he says, go and serve overseas. And since we are overseas, we get to share our story with you this morning. But we actually, I enjoy hearing... And we enjoy hearing your stories and how God's working in your life. And we do not enjoy talking about ourselves. So this is our sixth time doing this, and we're probably going to skip over some stuff and go pretty quick. And we're not trying to do that. It's just that we get kind of bored of telling our story over and over again. So hopefully, it is new to you. So, all right, I'm going to try and focus. Sorry. The biggest Muslim country in the world. Anybody know?
Indonesia.
The fourth largest country in the world population-wise, Indonesia, right behind the United States, going to surpass the United States soon at the birth rates, like in just a couple years. It's the country no one's heard of. It's the country that's hard to get into. It's the country where it's hard to reach people. And that's one reason Mission Aviation Fellowship is there. And really, it's a miracle that they let us go there. It's a very closed country. You can't practice medicine. You can't get a job there. You can't do anything there. But for some reason, they let us in. And so we're going to share why we think that is a little later and what it is we do. But first, I want to just tell you a little bit about where MAF came from. This lady's name is Betty Green, and she was a World War II WASP. Women Aviation Service Pilot, I believe is the right word. I always have to look it up. Yeah. Women Air Force Service Pilot, sorry. And she loved airplanes, and she loved flying airplanes, and she's flew many, many missions in World War II. And when she came back to the United States, she said, I love Jesus, and I love airplanes. How can I do those together? So her and a couple other people started Mission Aviation Fellowship in 1945. So we've been around for about 76 years. And she was the first pilot for MAF. She flew from Los Angeles to Mexico City, and her plane wasn't full of Bibles, wasn't full of anything like that. Mission Aviation Fellowship has always been about reaching hard-to-reach places and helping other organizations get there. And so she flew Wycliffe Bible translators into Mexico. And she said, what's my race, God? What do I enjoy doing? I enjoy airplanes and I love you, so how can I combine those? And MAF was formed. About 10 years later, I think you guys are familiar with this story. This is Nate Saint and Jim Elliott. They were killed in Ecuador, speared. But they were inspired by Betty Green, who started MAF, and Nate Saint joined MAF and was flying other missionaries in to hard-to-reach places, and they found the Warani people, and they were a never-been-reached people, and they decided to reach out to them. So they landed their airplane after weeks and months of kind of dropping supplies to them and thinking they have good contact with them, and they landed their airplane, and all five missionaries were killed. Right, so this airplane in this picture is still on display in Idaho at MAF headquarters. They kind of idolize it. I don't know. It's interesting. But that's a story of MAF that I'm sure you guys have heard. There's been movies made about it and all that. And Nate Saint is still inspiring people today because he ran a race that he was only, how old was he when he passed away? I can never remember this either. I don't think I wrote it down, actually. But he wasn't very old. He was in his 30s, 35 or 36, I believe, when he passed away. And still to this day, we have many, many missionaries that come in to join MAF because of the story of Nate Saint and the legacy he left behind. So today, what does MAF do? We're going to get to our story a little later. I just wanted to give you some background information on MAF. MAF's mission is to serve together to bring help, hope, and healing through aviation. And to see isolated, am I on the right screen? I guess I don't know.
Yep.
Okay. I guess I should have checked. And to see isolated people changed by the love of Christ. I don't know. Ohio City's pretty isolated, right? So, I mean, that mission and that vision, minus the aviation, although Randy would like to add that to everyone's maybe. I don't know from what he said. But serving together to bring help, hope, and healing. And to see isolated people changed by the love of Christ. It's a pretty simple mission and a vision. And one thing we appreciate about that simple thing is here is all the MAF bases that we're allowed to advertise. There's 27 on the board. And not one single one of those bases operates the same. Because MAF likes to go into an area and say, what are the needs here? What can we do? Obviously, they all fly airplanes, but they all fly airplanes for different reasons, whether that's pastors or missionaries or supplies or the big thing where we're at, which we'll get to, are called Orang Sakits, and it's sick people flights, and we'll talk about that a little later. But that's one thing we really appreciate about MAF is that each base is different. Each base operates differently because there are different needs in every community, just like a church. You can't just pick up this church and put it in another community. It wouldn't work. So we've got to figure out those needs to meet them. So using aviation and technology, MAF bridges barriers of distance and terrain to bring help, hope, and healing to those living in isolation. And it's the largest private fleet of light aircraft. So there's 47 planes around the world flying. There's a video, I'm not going to show it right now, and it's not the same video that we're going to watch, but it's something like every 3 minutes an MAF airplane takes off or lands around the world, over and over again, just flying in the name of Jesus. So they partner with 544 organizations and thousands of individual doctors, missionaries, pastors, and aid workers. Oh, here it is. No, every 14 minutes. I lied. I said three. I'm a liar. Wow. I don't know what I was thinking. In some of the most remote places on earth, an MAF plane takes off and lands. So that's just a little really quick background information on MAF. And we really just want to share our story and how we ended up with them, how God has encouraged us through, and all of that. And we're changing it up a little bit this time because we feel a little more connection to this church. And we're going to share a little more details about who we are and why we serve.
Is this on?
Yep, it should be.
It's on? Can you hear me? Yes? Okay. So I'm going to try to give a somewhat quick version of our story, but I can be long-winded, so I apologize in advance. So Steve grew up in Van Wert County. He was born here, and as Pastor Randy alluded to, I grew up in Adams Central territory.
I actually had an Ohio City address growing up, but it was 1232 Harrison Center Road. So if that makes sense, it doesn't. Ohio City's weird.
And when I was in high school, my family decided to switch churches. So that is how we met. We didn't know each other till high school. Long story short, we got married really young. I was 20 and he was 21. We still tease our pastor that he, like, what were you thinking? Anyway, but it's all good. And then because we were so young, we worked each other through college. He worked me through, I got a dental hygiene degree, and then I worked him through his education degree. And it was while he was doing his degree, we started volunteering at our church, which is Pleasant View Church outside of Wren, Ohio. I don't know if you're familiar with it or if you know Pastor Jeff Millay. He's been there for a really long time. But we started volunteering with the youth group, and Steve was leading that and planning summer trips, and our church had been looking for a youth pastor. And so Steve got closer to finishing his degree, and our church said, hey, we're looking for a youth pastor. You're kind of already doing this. Can we, like, pay you for it, and you keep doing what you're doing? And we prayed about it, obviously, and I was like, you have to finish your degree. You're not stopping now. Because, you know, that's what a submissive wife would say. But anyway, so he did that, and we started volunteering, or not volunteering, he started being the youth pastor. We did that for 12 years in the midst of having three kids. He went to seminary because he didn't have any Bible degree and thought that would be a good thing to do, being a youth pastor. And in the midst of that, Andy Irwin, who I think you all know, so they are from our home church, so we've known them forever, and she would post on Facebook every year that the school in Ecuador needed a teacher, and every year I would say, we should do this. You have a teaching degree. Let's go do it for a year, and he would say no, and so when we had three kids that were five and under, Andy posted it again, and he said,
We should go do this.
Yeah. And I said, no, so I have three kids, five and under. So we went to Ecuador, and we did that for a year. And it was, our church was so gracious. They gave Steve a year off. They paid for half of our support with the understanding that we were coming back. And, yeah, it was our first time actually living overseas. We definitely visited.
It was all God's timing. And you guys, it's a small church like here, and it kind of ebbs and flows when it comes to the youth department. And the year we were gone, we had one senior. And coming back that next year, we were going to have 11 seniors graduating. So all the timings of it just worked out. It was just my wife who was like, no, we can't do it.
And we really enjoyed our year in Ecuador. I would say that it felt more like an adventure rather than like a sacrifice. You know, you can do anything for a year. And it was exciting. And yeah, but we really enjoyed it. And people there spoke into us and they were like, hey, we've seen a lot of people come through here. And you guys, you could actually do this. Like, we could see you doing this. And we decided, we were like, we know that God is doing something. He was starting to feel like maybe youth ministry wasn't going to be a long-term thing. It's really hard on families. And so we started praying, God, what do you want us to do? What's next? Maybe it's continuing being a youth pastor. That's fine. Maybe he should get a teaching job around the area. Should he look into being a senior pastor? What do you want us to do? You know, we just want to do what you want to do. So we left Ecuador with that mindset, and we kept praying and kept praying, and it was December of that following year. So we returned in May or June, and then in December
2016,
there was a post on Facebook. I'm telling you, Facebook is the place to go for direction from God, apparently. Kidding. I have to say I'm kidding. But as somebody posted on Facebook, it was a pilot. Actually,
if you read my page, it's okay.
It's okay.
Okay. So follow Randy.
So follow Randy. I need to sign up for this apparently. So a pilot from Indonesia, ironically, posted on Facebook just asking the question, why can't we get teachers? Why is it so hard for missionary kids to have teachers overseas? Why can't we keep them? This is a big problem. Well, I just want to know why. Like, he was genuinely asking why. And it turned into this 100-comment post of reasons why. You know, I've worked at my job for this long, retirement, whatever. I mean, there was a variety of reasons. We saw it because, again, Andy Irwin commented on it. And so it popped up in his news feed. And he read it, and he handed me his phone, and he said, read this and tell me why we wouldn't do this. And I started crying, not because I was excited, but because I was like, oh my gosh, you're serious, okay. because, like I said, Ecuador was an adventure. It was an exciting one-year thing. And if we did this, I knew it was going to be a goodbye and a, you know, a final thing here. And I would like to say that I trusted God immediately, and I was like, of course, honey, whatever you want to do. But I will say that I fought God. I did come to a point of a month or so later, probably, where I approached Steve and I said, okay, just contact MAF and ask them what it would look like for us to do this. Because I had come to a place in my heart where I decided, okay, you know what? I'm a stay-at-home mom. We've been praying about this for a long time. I can be a stay-at-home mom anywhere. And this is, you know, what God wants him to do. And so that was where my heart was, but it still wasn't pure motives here.
I was going to share that part. So when we contacted MAF, when we went to Ecuador, we didn't actually go with MAF. We went with a different organization. And we're comfortable saying MAF was a good recruiter for themselves and how they treated their missionaries compared to the organization we had gone with in Ecuador. And so just contacting MAF, I sent an email out that day and said, hey, we're interested, what would it look like? And within 20 minutes, I was on the phone with the recruiter, as they call her, saying, we want you, you're coming this year, now. And
so that was probably in February, and Steve and I were like, huh, that's really funny. We can't come this year because we had a trip to Ecuador planned in like April. He was going to be a speaker at the school. What else? We were going to Honduras with our teens in July for 2 weeks. We were like, yeah, it's not going to work out this year. We've got too much going on. We can't come to Idaho and do your training and everything that you require. And long story short, MAF was like, no, you can do it this year. And you've been on the field, so you probably don't need as much training as everybody else. And Chad and Andy knew us, so they could vouch for, I guess, our sanity maybe. Anyway, but back to my fighting God. The whole time, as soon as I told him, yes, you can contact MAF, that's fine. I don't know if you've ever done this. I don't really recommend it, but I, without actually acknowledging what I was doing, I was making a list in my mind of like, okay, God, well, if you want me to move to Indonesia, and by the way, when he said Indonesia, I'm getting out my phone like, where in the world is Indonesia? I have absolutely no idea. If you want us to go to Indonesia, then I have like, well, first, we can't go this year because we have all these things going on. Second, I have vehicles that I would need to sell. Third, we have a house, and how are we going to do that? And I just started making up all these reasons why, and I guess I can look back and say that I never actually prayed the prayer, but I guess I was kind of challenging God, like daring him to be like, prove to me that this is what you want for me, because this is a big deal and I'm scared. Long story short, we literally had people come to us and say, hey, can I buy your van? And so we sold our vehicles without ever posting them or trying. And Christy Gamble sold our house. We put it on the market on Thursday, and by Monday, we had 3 offers. They were all over the asking price of what we'd asked. So at that point, I was like, I guess I'm going to Indonesia. So, and in saying that, God was so kind because we all have days, you all have days, where you look at your life and you're like, what in the world am I doing? Right? Being a pastor, like, this is this worth it? Like, oh, and we have that over there. And any day that that comes up, I can be like, you know what? God 100% led us here. And people often ask us, well, how long are you going to be in Indonesia? And I say, well, you know what? God 100% led us here, and he's going to have to 100% lead us away from here because I know this is where he wants us. And just my personality and I guess the way that I tend to maybe fight God in some ways, it was just so gracious of God to do that and to just give us that clarity in such a short amount of time. So we went to MAF in May and interviewed, May of 2017, and we were in Indonesia August, having sold our house, our cars, everything, packed up our house. It was a little crazy, but it was what God wanted. So we rest in that, and we're thankful for that.
No, that's good. We actually, on our way here this morning, drove by our old house to see how far it was from the church. It's exactly 8.5 miles, straight shot down this road, Wilshire Ohio City Road. So that's the house we sold 4 years ago now, almost exactly. We have kind of an intermission video to show you before we share some of our local ministry in Indonesia and what we do. So this is just a recap of 2020 of what happened around the world with MAF during COVID, which kind of wrecked a lot of things. One of the biggest struggles with COVID and flying airplanes into remote parts of the world, into the jungle and small villages, is you don't want to be responsible for bringing a disease to a place where it's not there yet. So there was a lot of just figuring out, how can we do this?
2020 was a challenging year for all of us. At MAF, COVID-19 restricted our flights and caused great difficulty for our staff in traveling to and from our overseas programs. And yet, we saw God work in amazing ways. Thanks to your partnership, we were able to continue serving some of the world's most isolated people. We want to celebrate God's goodness and your faithfulness over the past year and all that we were able to accomplish together for His kingdom.
MAF partners with nearly 400 organizations to share the love of Jesus with isolated people. Our airplanes reduce travel difficulties and time so partners can focus on their ministry. Last year, Kids Action Network teams were able to train 109 Sunday school teachers in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Those teachers now have the potential to impact nearly 5,000 children. On the eastern side of the country, SIL International made progress on 25 language projects, including Bible translations. And MAF hired local Congolese to help minister in a camp of displaced people, providing trauma counseling and sewing classes for the women to have a source of income. These are just a few of the many stories you are making possible at MAF programs around the world. Where there's an airstrip, an MAF airplane, and MAF staff, isolated people are being physically and spiritually transformed.
2020, the pandemic reached even those remote areas of Indonesia where we serve, immediately resulting in lockdowns and flight restrictions. Amidst the turmoil, an unthinkable tragedy, the loss of our sister and coworker, Joyce Lynn. We're still recovering, but it's made us even more resolute, more committed to the mission. In a difficult year, we instilled hope by delivering medical supplies and workers to fight COVID-19, supporting partners who are spreading the gospel, enabling education and healthcare in isolated villages, equipping disciple makers, Sunday school teachers, and parents, investing in the lives of our Indonesian staff, and much more. None of this would have been possible without you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for praying for me. I love you.
When isolated people are suffering, that's when MAF gets to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Whether it's transporting food to a hungry community, saving lives through medical evacuations, or providing relief after a natural disaster. Last fall, you supported flights for 280 passengers and nearly 46,000 pounds of life-sustaining cargo after two hurricanes devastated Central America. When thousands of people lost everything, you delivered hope.
Despite the challenges of 2020, God provided above and beyond our expectations. He brought us a strong number of interested candidates. Several families were accepted into MAF, and others are going through the training and acceptance process this year. So we praise God for that as we're constantly searching for those in the next generation who will serve with MAF. We continue to invest in and train local staff at our overseas programs. And one is currently training here in Idaho with the goal of becoming an MAF pilot, which is so exciting. And to serve our MAF families when they're here for furlough or training, we opened a brand new facility last fall, the MAF Family Center.
To the glory of God our Father, who makes possible every good and perfect gift, to the honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to the praise of the Holy Spirit, our source of light, life, and power, we do now with joy and gratitude humbly dedicate this building, so that in this place the name of the Lord shall be glorified and his kingdom shall be advanced through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We greatly appreciate the many donors who made this a reality.
We have shared with you just a few stories and statistics of the impact MAF is having by serving isolated people and spreading the gospel in remote areas. That's what it's all about. We want to see lives transformed by the love of Jesus Christ, and that's why we do what we do. And you're a big part of that. We couldn't do this work without you. As we partner together in 2021, let's be hopeful as we look forward to what God will accomplish through all of us working together.
Just a little about what happened last year. Video can tell way more than we can tell. So one question we get a lot is, why? Why MAF? Why would you want to be a teacher? Why would you go overseas? Why? And the honest answer is, we don't know. That's what people were asking us 4 years ago. Why are you doing, this is really fast. Why are you doing this? What's going on? And we don't know. This is where we really think God wants us. We've been praying. And when we got to Indonesia 4 years ago, the families were like, thank you for coming. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad. Thank you. And they're like, yeah. You say that to every family that comes to the field. But we had three families pull us aside and say, if you hadn't come to be a teacher, we were leaving. If you hadn't come, we were leaving. Because that Facebook post, we can't get teachers. And to ask a family to homeschool in a third world country where they're already under a bunch of stress that is not normal, and living in a place that's the largest Muslim population, not having neighbors you can share things with, just is too much for some of the moms there. And so having teachers is part of the team, part of the plan for MAF. They guarantee that to their families, their pilots and their mechanics, that we will provide for you an education for your kids. And so they had been praying for 6 months. And so when we got there, it took us a while to realize it, but oh, the why is because God definitely wants us here, and these people have been praying, and he's working in our hearts halfway around the world to get us here, and he did all of that. So for the past 4 years, this has been our school. It's the only property where we live that MAF owns, and we can do with it what we want there. We don't have to, so we're a homeschool kind of thing. If we were a school recognized by Indonesia, we'd have to open the doors to any Indonesian children that wanted to come, and we're not staffed to do that. So here is our school at the end of, not this past school year, but the year before. We had 23 students from first grade to 11th grade, every grade covered, with four teachers, so we had to cover multiple grade levels. That's what we do. And I taught from fifth grade all the way to 11th grade, and we rotated classes, me and another teacher. And then this past school year, this is what our school, oh, Randy, I forgot to ask, what time is church over? Like now?
No, you're good. 11:30.
Okay. This was our school year this past year, and it was cut in half. Not because of COVID, really, but just because families moved on. Our school was never designed to be a high school. And in the 3 years prior to this past year that we were there, we converted it to a high school. And those families ended up needing to move on, because when you get to high school and you're trying to homeschool and you have kids from different states and one from Canada, it's just really, really hard to meet all of the state and country requirements that are there. And so if you can imagine being one of these kids and walking into school from this year to the next year, school becomes a place of sadness. And their friends are gone. And they don't even want to be there. And why is my life so hard? Some of them, they're every day for the first half of the year, someone in my classroom cried. And I didn't know why, and I didn't understand it. But to backtrack, when I went first, I went to be a teacher, and it turns out there's a reason. I was a youth pastor for 12 years, and I told God I was done with middle school, and for the first 3 years, I had all middle school boys. But anyway, that's a side point. God has a sense of humor and uses the skills and gifts he's given you for his glory, hopefully. But I became an uncle, I became a pastor, I became a mentor, I became a friend, like all of these things, to where the education some days gets pushed aside to, hey, let's talk about what's going on in your heart. Let's talk about what's going on in your head. Let's figure this out. It's a hard life for these kids. They're called TCKs, third culture kids. And what that means is they've got their parents' culture and the culture they live in, and then they have this third culture where they're kind of don't fit into where they live. They don't fit into their parents' culture, and they're just kind of their own little culture. And they could come back here. My kids have struggled because culture here leaves us behind because we don't have a connection to it when we're there, and they just really, really can struggle. And so MAF in figuring this out is like, we really need teachers to stick around, and we need people to speak into the lives of these kids, because their parents are stressed out. Their dads are busy. It is hard for me to say, I work for MAF. No, I'm not a pilot. Oh, you're not a pilot? What do you do then? Like, I get that a lot. And after I share in a church like this, I've never not shared this with other churches, but I'll have mostly, I can say this because I'm a guy, mostly men come up to me and say, so how long have you been flying with MAF? It's like, well, I just shared that I'm a teacher. So and so it's just this, why wouldn't you be a pilot if you join MAF? And that brings, I'm going to actually skip, I put these in the wrong order, to this picture. That's our team. Four of those people are pilots. And so when you think of a missionary pilot, you think, like, he goes and he flies these airplanes and that's what he does, but it takes a team, just like it takes a team to run a church. Four of those people are pilots to do what we do. And the rest of us are support, because it is a team. We can't have lone rangers out there making a difference for God. That's not healthy. And so we try to do it in a healthy way. So we wanted to share real quick about what we do. So the first thing is, just like everyone else, I have a job. I work there. We're not special. My job is to be a teacher and to influence these people. But we also have ministry there. And my wife's going to share about some of those ministry opportunities we have.
So in being fast-tracked to the field, normally a MAF family, you would join, you would raise all of your support before you went overseas, and then they would put you in language school. Well, for us, they were like, we need you, you're going. So first of all, we didn't raise hardly any support before we left because we didn't have time. And secondly, we never went to language school because they needed us as a teacher family. We've done some language studies since then, but all of that to say, we can't invest in the Indonesian people as much as we would like to because of that. There are a number of Indonesians that speak pretty good English, so we've made some relationships that way. But this is a picture of, it's called Kartidaya, and actually right before COVID, MAF became aware that there was a Bible translation project going on the island of Borneo, which is where we fly. And so they were like, how can we support your ministry? Obviously, we can fly you in to these places where you're translating, and we can do that. Is there anything else that we can do? Because they're translating it into five tribal languages. Now, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around this, because I speak English, you speak English, and I'm betting that that's the only language that most of us in here speak. But their first language is often their tribal language, and Indonesian is their second language. So for a lot of them, if they even had an Indonesian Bible, they wouldn't understand it because it's their second language and they don't know all the words. But if they can get it in their tribal language, that's their heart language, right? Just like English is our heart language. So these people are Indonesians who are kind of missionaries within their own country, which has been really cool because we can relate to that. Like, oh, you're away from home and you're doing this and it's hard and Satan's attacking you, and we get it, even though we're different cultures. And they said, well, can you guys help us speak English? Most of them speak it decently well, but if you can imagine or think about all of the resources that are available in English when it comes to Bible studies, different translations. They don't have any of that. I was researching, I want to do a Bible study this fall with some gals that speak decent English over there. There are no Bible studies available that I could find in Indonesian. So they said, if you can help us learn English, that will broaden our horizons to translation. And I was like, well, I can't do a lot of things, but I think that I speak English pretty well, so I can do that. So that just opened up the door for texting relationships in the midst of COVID, because COVID kind of ruined a lot of things. But this was when we were able to meet with them right before COVID got bad, and just have a few days with them to go through songs with them and really just speak with them in English and get to know them and how to pray for them. So it's been a really cool ministry that we can be a part of. And something that God's put on my heart to do. And this is just a picture of the gal in the middle. Her name's Grace, and she's one of the translators. And she was able to come to our island actually just like a week before we left to come here. And that was the first time we'd seen her since COVID, so it was exciting to be able to catch up with her.
I have a mic. I was ready to grab her mic from her. This is a picture in our hangar. In Tarakan, Indonesia, where we live. So it's Borneo. You guys have all been to the Fort Wayne Zoo, I'm assuming. And so the Indonesian exhibit is the Borneo exhibit. That's where we live. We live on a small island off of Borneo where there's a domestic airstrip and a city. And when you think of a tropical island, this is not a tropical island. It's filthy and dirty, third world country. It's half the size of Van Wert County with over 200,000 people living on it. So it's people on people stacked up and just not a super easy place to live. It's not like our top choice. Like, yes, we want to live there, but that's where we're at. And so we try to make the most of it. This is a Thursday night group. So our group gets together, the adults, every Thursday. You can see the guy there is on the left of the screen with the bald head with the guitar, leading just some songs. And then we just share prayer requests, share what's going on. So it's kind of like our church time, because we don't get that a lot in our own language. And I was able to kind of step in and help lead some of that and lead some of our home church on Sunday mornings. Again, just God using the skills and gifts and what he's given us and how we can serve him and what our personal race and mission is. Here is a picture of what MAF does. So again, biggest Muslim country, Muslim government, and they say, yes, MAF, please come in. Please fly your airplanes in the name of Jesus. Please help our people. You can't, they don't allow doctors to come in, nurses, so we can't do medical teams, anything like that. Just not allowed. They don't want that in their country. That's a big ministry in a lot of the other bases around the world. But what we're able to do is every time someone out in the jungle is sick and the little local doctor says, I can't help this person, they're gonna die, they need to get to a hospital, the MAF government says, or sorry, the Indonesian government says, MAF, thank you for being here. Please take your airplane, go pick up that person and bring them to the hospital and we'll cover the bill for that. Because MAF is a nonprofit. We're not out there making money. So we average a little over one of those flights every day. So I think there were 372, but you guys remember how my numbers work last time. But it is a little over one of those flights every day where, and this is what happens. The people come out and they are so thankful that we're there because we're saving lives. We like to say if we're not flying, people are dying. And three or four times a year, we're grounded and we're waiting for government approval to say we can fly again. And we get calls and we have to say, sorry, we're not allowed to fly. And then those people will call the government and be like, we want MAF to fly out here because we need them. And so that's a big ministry that we do there. And we also fly pastors and we fly church groups. We do a lot of that flying and supplies out into the jungle, hard to reach places. 8-minute flight.
Sorry, go ahead.
What?
I'm going to say something after you.
Oh. Well, I'm going to get this number wrong again.
An 8-minute flight is 4 days.
Can
right?
be up to 4 days just because of the terrain
of walking through
make up.
Mountains.
So in the video,
snakes.
It said redeemed 32,000 in some days, I believe. And that's what it means. So a 30-minute flight can save almost a week of travel, which saves lives.
Another really cool thing that Tarakan has that when we were in Ecuador, they didn't have, they have something called a hospital house. Mm-hmm. So whenever they bring in these sick people, obviously they're coming from their home that's miles away. So they don't have anywhere to stay, their family. So MAF has a house where these people can stay. They have a room to themselves, right? And then they have like a community living area and stuff. But so that's another way that we can minister. We can go in and we have the connection because of the flight. And then we know, oh, they're here. This is why they're here. And I just wanted to share, I think I was discouraged the past year. Maybe you guys were discouraged too because of COVID. And because so much of our ministry opportunities were not able to happen. We couldn't go to the hospital house. We couldn't go to church. Our church is still closed. Our kids have not been allowed to go at all. And I was just really discouraged, like, God, you have us here in Indonesia, and we're not able to do these things that we want to do. And one of our teammates was talking to her Muslim neighbor who has known MAF families for a long time, and she said, she's like, I'm just so amazed that you guys are here, because your government told you to get out, which is true, and you stayed helping us because you love Indonesia and you love our people. And she was just like crying, and I was so just convicted of, like, well, I thought, man, Satan's really using this COVID stuff. You know, I was like, actually, God is using it in her heart and hopefully other people's hearts to help them realize, like, we're here for you. Like, yeah, obviously, medical care is a lot better in America. So if we get COVID, we want to be there. But so just a blessing that COVID can have because God's in it. So that was an encouragement to me.
When you live in Indonesia, when you turn 18, you get an identification card, and on it, it will say what your religion is. So Indonesia recognizes that there is a God, but you get to take your pick. So Muslim, 91% pick Islam. And then there's Protestant, Catholic, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Confucianism, six of them. And so because by the age of 18, you know what your religion is, I'm not allowed to talk to you about why you should be my religion.
It's illegal.
And yet, here we are in a country flying in the name of Jesus, and people are seeing, why are these people doing this? What's different about them? Because, yeah, just really, really cool. And this is a picture of me praying for one of my students as he gets baptized. So we have work, we have ministry, and we have family there. He calls me Uncle Steve. And I will always be his uncle because he left his family behind, and we are what they have. I had a student for my first only 4 years I've been there who was a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. I had her all 4 years of her high school. And I was her teacher, but I was her uncle. And I led her graduation service and her baccalaureate service and her church service and her graduation party. It was all in one, right? And as I was thinking about, you know, what do I share? How do we communicate our support and love for faith? And it was that we are her family. Like she's back in America now, and she knows her family less than she knows me, because I am her uncle for life. Like that's not something I signed up for, but again, God has placed that in our lives. So here she is right there holding my daughter's hand. And so we have family and we have fun. How do we have fun in a place like Tarakan, Indonesia?
And I will say just quickly before you finish up, because again, we aren't stellar with the language, our heart has always been, even when we were in Ecuador, our hearts are for unity within the church, within a team. Wherever we are, we're like, let's just get along. Let's like love Jesus together. And so our hearts are our team. Our hearts are these kids. Our hearts are their families. Because you can't have a healthy team and you can't have a healthy ministry if you don't have healthy families. So I'm, you know, hey, can I watch your kids today? Can I make you a meal? Like every day, I never know what's going to come up because it's just, what does God want me to do today? It's different, and I'm sure you feel the same way in some ways, but just how can we support them? How can we love them? How can we help this unity? Because that's what God wants. So that's our heart in serving over there.
Do you want that picture?
Okay. Another heart that I have, this is our neighbor, Olene, and she speaks really good English. She's like Janae's, our oldest daughter, her big sister. She's awesome. And she told me one day, she was like, I've never tasted American pizza. Can you show me how to make it? And I was like, absolutely, come over. So we've been in my kitchen several times together. She cooks Indonesian foods, and I will show her how to cook American food. And we love our neighborhood. It's been such a blessing. We open our gate every afternoon, and all the neighbor kids come in, and our kids are playing with them. And it's another ministry that we feel like we have, and it's such a gift. We're so thankful.
So we want to leave you again. I started with asking, what is a missionary? And in 1 Peter 4:7, it's always been one of my favorite passages, because it's always been a challenge to me to think about, am I living this out? Am I doing this? 1 Peter 4:7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray." So am I connected to God enough that when I pray, I know how he's answering? Yes, no, where does he want me? And above all, so after you pray and you're self-controlled and you're clear-minded, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And this has been encouraging to me, but also disheartening to me, because when you live where we have lived the last 4 years, in a city of 200,000, and you see someone else with white skin, they are part of your team, and they are part of your family, part of your friend group, the people you are stuck with, and you have to learn to ask for forgiveness because you mess up. You can't just move on. You can't just be like, well, forget you. We really live in a fishbowl. We're on display for the people of Indonesia to see. We stick out. They want pictures with us. They want to touch our kids' faces. They want to, so I didn't put it in here, but I've been trying to have some fun with that every time I get asked, picture, Mr., photo, Mr., motor, photo. And so I say, yeah, sure, as long as I can take a photo with my phone of you too. And then so I have a collection of photos with all these people that want pictures with me. But it's not really all that fun. Because you can't even go shopping without getting pulled, like, I just want to fit in. I just want to blend in. I don't want to stick out. All that to say, we stick out, and we're in a fishbowl, and we only have each other when it comes to when just being ourselves, and we've learned that love definitely covers a multitude of sins, because we've made it through some of the hardest parts of our marriage, hardest parts of our friend group, and just figuring out, okay, God, you've got us here, you've got them here. What are you trying to teach us? What are you trying to help us work through? And after it says love covers a multitude of sins, it says offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's really hard to offer hospitality to people you don't want to get along with. And that's, as Lindsay shared, we've really been trying to make that our heart there. How can we minister to our team so that we have a healthy team? Because we can't have a healthy ministry and a healthy MAF if we don't have a healthy team. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That's verse 10, and that's the challenge. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, administering God's grace in its various forms. So you're a missionary in your mission field, Ohio City, wherever you live, your job. What gifts has God given you to serve others, to administer his grace, to glorify him in what you do? That's our hearts. That's what we want to do. Again, we really don't enjoy talking about ourselves. We don't think we're anything special, because we're not. We're just instruments being used to glorify God. And we thank you for allowing us to share our story with you. We hope you were encouraged, and we hope you are challenged to bring glory to God in your everyday life.